Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones, wishing you, Pete Mitchell, a very happy birthday.
It's not my birthday.
Yeah, it's your birthday. You know how I know?
How?
Because you showed up in your birthday suit.
Why you gotta do that again? Why? This is the second time we've recorded the podcast.
I know. And it's not like we forgot to hit record. It was because we did hit record. That was the problem. But we're not going to talk about it because we'll have to re-record again. Just even alluding to it, even talking, even thinking about it will make us have to re-record. So, Pete, I'm not going to ask you what you're going to do on your birthday because we got in trouble last time. So, Pete, you got a new dog and you haven't talked about this new dog on the podcast.
Have I not talked about the dog?
No. Well, not with me, maybe with Chesley, now that you're two-timing on me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's been, like, apparently it was the day school started, so I think they're on week 9 or 10 right now. So, yeah, we've had him for, you know, two and a half months-ish.
You show me that picture of him. He's a rescue dog. That is the worst picture. And I've seen, you know, I watch the shows like everybody else. That was the worst picture I've ever seen of a dog.
Dude, right? Like, he was just skin and bones.
Yeah, it's so criminal to do that to an animal. But, yeah, he's gorgeous, man.
Have you seen that, the video? The guy goes on college campuses, and he, like, goes up to people to get them to sign a petition. And he's like, yeah, they're taking these pregnant dogs, and they're sucking out the puppies and basically he's describing abortion, right? And he's like, you know, will you sign this petition to stop it? And they go, oh, absolutely. Right. And everyone signs it. Oh, here's another one. They're doing this to women too.
And are like, you serious?
Yeah. And they're like, I think a woman has a right to choose, but we save the puppy. Why can't we save the babies? Like, and,
oh my
and,
gosh.
And they have to walk serious? Away because they realize that they just been like,
oh man,
expose their hypocrisy.
That's heavy.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Heavy. Oh, man. So, Pete, here we are. Like, hey, I've been seeing, like, little shorts that Chesley's been putting together that have made their round. You know, we're doing social media. We're not doing social media.
Yeah, right? We're not. I'm not.
but, like, it's funny, the stuff that's being picked. It's mostly funny stuff that's getting out there. It's not like we're saying deep things, although he did catch you saying something deep the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was something about...
What did I say? I need to write it down.
Well, it was you quoting me, but it...
Of course it was. Of course it was.
No, you were talking about how guys need to take a break. And, you know, when you take a break, you don't cut the guy's paycheck and yada, yada. It was actually really good. And I'm like, man, that was good stuff. So we got a great topic today. We're going to talk about what to do when you're disciple making leads to multiplication. So that leans a little bit into microchurch. Some of you know that microchurch is all the rage. It's the big buzz. But we're going to have some smack talk first. But we'll get into that in a little bit. So, but yeah. So Pete, I got something for smack talk.
Ooh, let's hear it.
I finished both books. Cha-ching! Discipology and Journal to
Disciples. Okay, I don't know how many times I've heard you say that. So that literally means nothing to me.
I know. I'm like the boy who cried wolf.
Done. I've turned it in. I've got it back. I've done. I've turned it in. I've got it back. I've done. Like,
well, okay. So I mistakenly miscounted how many editing cycles I had. I missed one, right? They handed it back to me after I told everyone, I'm all done. And they're like, no, you have another round. And man, what a nightmare it's been. Now, I got to say, the team at Zondervan are awesome. It's not them, but they came back and said, hey, you made so many significant changes. We just don't know if we can take them all on board. Well, everybody's got to know, when I write a book, I write I write it a number of times. I don't just write one book and then trim and adjust. I keep rewriting and rewriting and rewriting until it's right. And I'm not convinced it's right up until the last minute. But, you know, like people say, oh, man, like a lot of people like my books, you know, like when they read them, they appreciate them. And I think to myself, well, I hope it was good because I wrote that book 6 times. This one, I think I wrote 9 times. And I work hard on these things. Like there's a reason I disappeared, Pete, for a year. I started October 1st on this book of 2024. I finished October 2nd, 2025. It was a year and a day. And I remember traveling on planes and I'd pull my laptop out by the internet and work on that sucker. We went to Hawaii on a family vacation. I get up at 4, wait until the family got up because they usually get up around, you know, 8 a.m., whatever, when we're on holiday. So I'd have 4 hours of writing. And last week, we went somewhere and stayed the night. And I told Andrea, it was the weirdest thing to wake up and not have a book to work on. And when we went to Britain, I had just turned in a manuscript and had nothing to work on. I told her, this is the weirdest thing after a year of being able to fly on a plane and not have to work the entire flight. I haven't done things. I mean, I throw myself all in. So right now I don't know what to do with myself.
Well, it's cool that it's done.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. But I was like the boy who cried literary wolf. No one believes me when I say that. But this is actually the chef step away from the kitchen moment, like in Chopped. It will never let me touch that book again.
I don't know what that means.
You ever seen Chopped?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's a great show. I was just telling Brooks last night about The Prophet.
Oh, had he not seen The Prophet?
He's never seen it.
Really?
Yeah. So I was telling him that because we're working with a guy right now. I can't really talk about it. It's kind of top secret. But we're working with a guy who's like Mark Lemonis.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the big boys. He's up there.
So, nice.
Yeah.
So was that your smack talk that you're done with your book?
Yeah. It's not exciting smack. I mean, it's great for me. It's not great for anyone else, but I have a whole list of things. Like it's like getting out of prison. That's what it feels like to me.
Luke and I took Chuck Norris on our first off-roading trip.
You did? Nice. I did. Okay, I got to ask a question. Is that why were you off-roading last week when you missed the podcast? Because I got to bring that up.
I was taking the truck to get the front windshield tinted.
It was a truck.
Yeah. And I
told another woman. I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So this is what I told Jamie the other day. I'm like, Peyton likes his Cybertruck because it looks like a Transformer.
Yeah.
I like my Gladiator because it is a Transformer.
It is. That's like that's
you take
true,
the doors off, you take the top off. You can do all these mods to it. It's a Transformer.
How cool would it be if in future, during our lifetime, we get to see robots turn into cars and cars into robots? So you go somewhere and then rather than parking your car, it just goes beep, 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 and it turns into your companion and it carries all your groceries and it carries everything. It walks around the store with you. How cool would that be? It's like your bodyguard if someone tries to mess with you. I want that car.
That's great, Peyton.
And then it goes, hey, wanna hop in? And then it's like a mech suit. And you can get in your mech suit and you can fly around. How cool would that be?
I think it would be great. I don't think it's realistic on any level.
I know. But in heaven, I'm gonna have one in heaven.
Cause imagine you go somewhere and your car turns into your robot companion.
Yeah.
And you got to go upstairs or downstairs. Those aren't like, think about how big that would be. It would not be able to make the stairs.
No, it has to wait outside for you, except in the store. They'll have to make doors bigger to go into the stores because the ceilings are tall enough in a store, like a grocery store anyways.
Right.
But Yeah. So, Pete, if you had a Transformer robot, what would you name it and what would you want it to be? Would you want it to be your Gladiator?
I have a Transformer robot. His name is Truck Norris.
All right. Well, tell me about the off-roading experience with Truck Norris.
No, it was just fun. I'd never been off-roading before. So, you know, we went with the Lone Star Jeep Club. And because I'd never been, and they're like, you get in line. You know, everyone's got walkie talkies and they'll tell you, you know, when you need to do certain things, take your sway bars off,
nice.
Your lockers on.
You know. Oh, yeah, totally. The sway bars. Yeah, those bugged me, too.
So it was fun, man. It was like I wanted to go again. They went to another place this last weekend. But I couldn't go because I got the kids on Saturday. So, you know.
You can't take the kids?
There is no way Mackenzie would want to go.
Really?
So, first of all, it was like 2 hours away. So, she's going to be stuck in the car for 2 hours as we drive out there. Then stuck as I drive around, you know, the wilderness.
Tell her you're going to Magnolia and on your 2 hours, because that's about 2 hours, right? An hour and a half. Tell her, hey, we're going to go to Magnolia. They have a year-round Christmas shop. And then, you know. And then change a plan, and then she's belted in and stuck, and then you're off-roading.
It's a theory. I'll keep that one in mind for the next time.
I mean, it's parenting tips from Peyton. So Follow me for more advice.
I know. I'm like parking on the curbs. I'm like, why would I back up to get out of here? I'm just going to drive over those, you know, and I'm driving over the little, you know, cement things that are supposed to block you into your parking spot. I'm like, oh yeah, this is how we roll.
Nice.
We got a Jeep.
It's great. So fantastic.
It's fun. Forget about the Charger. This is way better.
Well, I've been kind of kicking around an idea with my church plant. So now that I'm out of Book Dungeon, I can feel the apostolic thing coming on pretty strong. The first thing I did was like a blitz and flurry of things for the church plant that have been kind of holding off. I'm thinking of doing one of those, like, you know, pub and God nights, like pub theology or something like that, where you just get some open dialogue going. I'm camping on that one. I don't got any decisions.
That's a little Charlie Kirk for your church plant.
Yeah.
We
did stuff like that in Refuge, if you remember, with
You're just not talking politics. You're talking God.
Yeah. Just total God. But I remember we did Doomsday and the End of the World. Of course, my churches normally started off with that kind of stuff. And I'm looking for some kind of mission, and I'm thinking this might be a good way to do it. Might do coffee house as well. There's a guy starting. Some of you guys have been following Ralph Moore's podcast and Ryan Delameter. He's got a kind of micro church movement out of San Clemente, which is next city over from us. Kind of technically, like we're on the edge of Carlsbad Oceanside. But once you get past that stretch of land north of Oceanside, you hit Camp Pendleton. It's like 20-minute drive through nothing. Then you hit San Clemente. And we hit San Clemente, you know, like I said, there's this rad little student-led microchurch movement. And the same guy that started that coffee shop is going to start one up in Oceanside. And so he wants to get together and chat. So we might start doing something very similar. But yeah, I'm kind of, now it's like blue ocean for me. Like, I'm ready to go.
That's awesome. Mm. I was noticing yesterday, there's a church near us that must have some sort of off-roading or Jeep club, because now I'm getting their ads in my feed for, you know, come on out to this event.
Jeepin' for Jesus.
Well, yeah, I showed you the Jeepin' for Jesus. It was a Jeep, and that's
the Jeep in Gehemini.
Yeah, they go out on the trails with these groups, and that's their ministry. That's how they connect with people.
That's really just an excuse to... I gotta go take the Jeep out again because, you know, I gotta go do it for Jesus. Oh, okay, dude, huh?
I shoot for Jesus.
Heck yeah, man.
I'm a shooting for Jesus.
That's cool. I would like to play Dungeons and Dragons for Jesus, but I haven't played Dungeons and Dragons since I was 8.
Christian over here, we don't do little D&D.
Yeah, if you guys didn't know, that guy came to faith. Gary Gygax. Gygax. Funny enough, interestingly, I had a I had lunch with Ed Stetzer. Really good time just connecting with him. Ed mentioned that he was a consultant with the company that runs D&D. So that was kind of neat because Ed has kind of an entrepreneurial side to him. That it was really fascinating for me to kind of learn more about him. But yeah, so kind of neat. But I was going to mention, if anybody here wants to, if you're in the San Diego area and you're thinking about getting a master's as a church planner, get in touch with me. You can, I'm going to give you my email. You can get in touch with me at Peyton@newbreedtraining.com. Peyton@newbreedtraining.com. If you would like.
Now, is this the email that goes straight to spam?
Yes. And if you would like to have it go straight to spam, but you're serious about maybe wanting to pursue a master's in MA, it's cohort style. It's going to be in San Diego. It's actually, the director is a good friend of mine, a guy that ran the training for Calvary Chapel in Hungary. He ran up in the castle. It's known as the castle. And it was actually in an old castle, but he ran a seminary there for years. And, he actually performed Andrew and I's wedding, a guy named Phil Metzger. And, he'll be doing that. Ed will be there. Like, you get a chance to learn under some of the,
leading. Is Ed still at Talbot?
Yeah. He's Dean at Talbot. Yeah.
Okay.
So pretty cool. And if you get a chance and you want, the reason I'm telling you this is there are limited seats, but they're going to give 50% off. And if you contact me, you travel, to the location 3 times a year, you can do it with, you do a lot of it's online, but the reason I'm telling you, if you're in San Diego, get in touch with me, love to, connect you to it and would love to, just get some San Diego people up and trained and get to know you a bit. So, 'cause I'm in San Diego. So get in touch with me if that's something that interests you. Like I said, 50% off your seminary 'cause they're trying to kick this thing off. Cohort style, I can hugely argue for that. That's what I did when I was over in Europe. A lot of seminaries do that now because they assume that you already have a busy ministry or maybe your Bible or whatever it is, but it's built for you. This is kind of like a system built for someone who's like, I want to go on and get maybe my MDiv or my MA, but I can't just stop my life and go to school full time. So get in touch with me. Love to kind of walk you through it. I don't get paid for it. I just have a passion for San Diego. Some people think Paul just worked with his hands, and he did, but he also raised funds. Don't believe me? Check out Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 10, and Romans 15. In fact, when the kingdom of God catapulted forward, there was usually a kingdom-minded businessman or woman behind it, like Priscilla and Aquila. If you're going to raise funds, though, do it well. Our partners, Reliant, can help you put rocket fuel in your fundraising tank. I wish I'd had this when I was church planning, but Reliant can partner with you to get you the training and coaching you need to raise that support, as well as provide you with employment services you may need like payroll, health benefits, and more. To learn more, check out Reliant.org/CPP.
Now it's time to get into the topic.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Great, Scott. It's time for this week's topic.
How many times today? Sorry. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. How many times today, though, did we pause the record?
Well, yeah, there was a bunch. Then there was a restart. And then there was a Brooks has got to cut all this out. And then there was a I just got to pause it because I got to finish the story.
Yeah, there's a lot of, so this probably is a short podcast.
Because I'm looking really at it, I'm going, oh man, I got 20 minutes till I got to go.
Yeah, well, I think this whole podcast can end up being 40 minutes. I think we cut out 20 minutes of it. Probably. All right. Well, hey guys, So the question is, what do you do when, let's say, okay, we're talking discipology, right? Cha-ching. If you make disciples, and this is kind of the idea, I got to give a little background. Think of discipology, cha-ching, and I'm just going to do a cha-ching, cha-ching, just for all of them real quick, so I don't got to keep doing it. But there is another book, right? Wait. There is another. There is another book. There is Journey to Disciple Making, which is a discipology journal. So the discipology book is for you, the leader. You're going to be a catalyst, a disciple making catalyst, kind of like Jesus was. And the journal is for like your 12, you know, whoever it is that you're, you know, let's say you're head of a church or a youth group or a small group, and you got, you know, like a group of, let's say 20 on a Tuesday night. Of people that come to your small group. And what you're able to do is say, hey, in 52 days or 52 weeks, we're going to pair off 2x2. We'll still meet on Tuesday nights, but we're going to pair off 2x2. And we're going to learn to make disciples, taking baby steps. So there's 52 steps. It just worked out that way. So we said, well, maybe we should make it like an accordion. If you need a year, so, you know, year takes you to go from zero to hero or hero maker. Great. You make disciples in that year. Otherwise, you could do it in 52 days, which is roughly just under 8 weeks, so 2 months. So what I foresee is this is just something always going on in the church where people are, you know, their Sunday morning is the teaching rhythm, right, that Jesus used to make disciples. So I don't hate Sundays like most people. They're like, oh, we don't just have a Sunday service. Well, Jesus preached to the crowds. I don't got a problem if you want to do that on Sunday. That's fine. But your discipleship group on Tuesday nights is where you take that teaching and you overlay the time rhythm, or think of like Venn diagrams of circles. You put the time rhythm on top of that. Now you've got discipleship. You've literally got a night where people are involved in teaching and time. Those two rhythms. And that's where you grow. That's where you get deeper. That's where you start to transform in community. But what most, and I would say, I'm guessing here, 99% of statistics are made up. So this 99% statistic is also made up. But 99%, I'm guessing, of churches out there don't ever enter into the tactical rhythm. They might go on a short-term mission, and that counts for sure. But I would say 99% of the people in our churches don't ever enter into the tactical rhythm. So what that means is that this is allowing you, kind of like John Wesley. John Wesley had a whole system, or he worked out that people could start doing stuff. So I want to see people enter into the tactical rhythm. So let's say you're doing that, right? And you and your two, right? Because Jesus always sent people 2x2. We don't ever send them 1x1, and we've talked about that, right? You're sent out 2x2, and you go and you start making disciples. You make the disciples outside the church. Because think of it, right? Like church growth movement, multiplication movement, missional movement, all these movements focused on what's done inside the church. I would say for the past 15 years, what we really talked about is how to do church better or different or in a way that actually really just rearranges the deck chairs, right? All the Titanic sinking. It's not so much what's done inside the church that matters, what's done outside. And that's the tactical rhythm. That's where we are mobilizing people. And that's where I think we're coming up to is the mobilization movement. This is mobilization. I think that's what we're heading into. And discipology hopefully would be a key part of that to unlock the mobilization of the church. But let's say you're doing this, right? You and Bob say, hey, you know, let's 2x2, let's go find someone, you know, that it's not a stranger. Most likely it's someone you know or Bob knows. And you guys are going to start doing stuff with them socially, but also walking them through the word. And that's a part of it, right? You're going to go through John's gospel or whatever. And I teach you how I've done this with people over the years, right? Super easy. You're like Philip, the Ethiopian, you know, with the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot explaining stuff. And they come to faith. It's just, it's rad. And the word of God does a heavy lifting. But let's say you've done that now. And we have a whole nother episode if you want to go back and listen to us you know, kind of outlining that. But let's say you do that and it works so well. Now you have a problem. Okay. Your group of 20 on Tuesday night, you send them out to, you've deployed them two by two, not on Tuesdays. That's just during the week. They can, two of them can work it out. But now each one of those groups of two has now reached a third person. You have just gone from a group of 20 to now 30 that's dispersed out there. But here's the problem. The journal leaves off with a problem. That, by the way, disciple making is super disruptive. It is going to disrupt what you are doing in the church. So, for example, what happens at the end of those 52 days or 52 weeks when you've now got someone who's come to faith? What do you do with those extra 10? Do you bring them back to the same group so that you now have 30 in your small group? It's kind of big for a small group. So what do you do? Do you put them all together in a new group of 10 people? And who leads it? Or do you take the 30 and divide it into two groups of 15? Okay, that's first scenario. But it's not that easy. And here's why. Here's why. This is what happens. If you read John 1, you learn at the very beginning of John 1 that Jesus, in his first year, only calls six people, right? He doesn't call all 12. It's at the end of year two that he sets aside the apostles, the 12. They've been with him. He picks them up in year two at some point, the extra ones. But in year one, he's only got six disciples. And the weird thing is he starts off with John and Andrew. He has a meal. Lord, what are you saying? Come and see. They have a meal. Immediately, Andrew goes and gets Peter. John goes and gets James. And then Jesus calls Philip, who then goes and picks up Nathaniel. So really, Jesus only calls three. And those three each go get another. And that's what always happens with disciple making. No sooner are you sitting down going through John with Bob and your who, you know, your person you're discipling, we call it a two and a who. But what happens is your who, let's call your who Mitch, you know, for Pete, in honor of my friend Pete Mitchell. So Mitch is like, hey, this is awesome. Like, can I bring my friend, you know, we talk sometimes spiritual things and he would love this, man. He's got questions about the Bible. Or, hey, you know, I was talking the other day with my brother, the last guy I discipled. He's like, can my brother start coming to this? Yeah, your brother can come. And so this is what happens as modeled by John chapter one. So let's just double it. Let's say that each one of those groups of three now, this happens, which almost always happens. Now you've got 40 people represented from that 120 group. Now you're going to tell me, right, as a church planner, no, I'm not interested in this, right? An established church, I'm not interested in this kind of multiplication, because mobilization always leads to multiplication. That's why Jesus in the Gospels focuses on mobilization. That's why it leads to the multiplication in Acts. This is where discipology is going. Because we put the cart before the horse. We started with multiplication in 2005 to 2020. That's the multiplication movement. Those were the years. Just like church growth movement, you say it was the 80s, 90s. Multiplication movement has a finite backstop now, right? We've been heading into something else. TM hashtag Peyton Jones, right? Like no scholars are saying this, but Peyton Jones is saying this. We are heading into the mobilization movement, right? It's just what's happening with the micro church and the emphasis on disciple making. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. And it's what's happening outside the church. The reason, and by the way, Stetzer mentioned the other night at dinner, he said, look, the new statistics on church are that it's growing. I sat with him last December. he gave very discouraging numbers that it was shrinking. What's happened in the past year?
Say that again. Who was shrinking?
The churches. Churches were shrinking. They weren't multiplying. They're shrinking. Right.
Okay.
The recent statistics is that there's an upswing. You know why? Because of what's happening outside the church.
Yeah,
the kingdom of God is advancing because of the influencers. They're getting saved left and right. The social media has been evangelizing. People are getting mobilized outside of the church. And this is the phenomenon that we're seeing more and more. So what's going to happen with discipology is it is going to be a disruptor, but the good kind of disruption. Because all it means now, remember how we always say the bottleneck to multiplication is a lack of a leadership pipeline? So now we've got Chesley Lundy working on kind of the fixing the problem that this is going to create. And that is, I'm a pastor, maybe you're a church planter, it doesn't matter, established church or church plant, it doesn't matter. The problem you're going to have is now you got 40 people you got to figure out, and 20 of them are new. What do I do with these 20 new people? They can't, all 40 can't go back to Tuesday night. Like, we know that's not going to, all 40 people aren't, we've just broken our small group. So what do we do? Do we now have four groups of 10, which is what I would argue? And I would argue that those disciple makers, if you had 20 people and you sent them out into 10 groups of two, you're going to pick the five most mature or four most mature leaders, and you're going to start four groups of 10, right? Because you don't want a small group growing much bigger than 20. So that gives them room to continue to make disciples, to keep multiplying that group up to 20 people. It's similar to what Steve Timmis did in Crowded House years ago when he did something called Crazy Eights. And the discipology, cha-ching, let's see, I did one there. It talks about this, Crazy Eights. This is what started happening with them in Sheffield 30 years ago, right? So that's what we want to kind of talk about, which means, and this is something we're going to provide at New Breed Training, is for you to be able to get out in front of it. And let's say realistically, each one reaches one, each group of two reaches one who, right? So you got 30, and maybe out of those 10 groups, some of them reach a few more, right? You're still somewhere in between 30 and 40, even if two people have a small group, because that also happens. So for example, Reuben Young, right? Reuben Young was a master of this. Remember back when we were doing Refuge Long Beach, Reuben was the first person I apprenticed to start a small group. Bonomo's the second. Reuben was the first. I took Reuben under my wing, and within 8 weeks, I had a way of training him up to lead his own what we called COG Community Grace, or what you would call microchurch. What Reuben did, because he was an electrician, he would get sent out to places like Indio or Chino Hills or wherever. And I remember him coming back to me and saying, "Hey, Peyton, I got a problem." I'm like, "What's his problem?" He goes, "Well, I was out in, I think it was Indio or Chino Hills. I can't remember, but he's doing some job out there." And he said, "My cousin's out there." And so I started having dinner with my cousin, and we started talking about Jesus. And she said, "Hey, shut up, train." She said, "Hey, can we meet, or can I invite people, you know, next time we have dinner?" "Yeah, no problem." So he was working up there for 6 weeks. By the time he left there, he had 30 people.
Are you serious? House.
Yeah. And he's like, "Peyton, what should I do with them?" And because it's up in Chino Hills, if memory serves, I said, "Well, you know, just get in touch with Calvary Chino Hills and tell them that you got this problem and hand them over. You know, just say, 'Look, I'm here. I'm with Peyton Jones. We're Refuge.'" Because at that time we were affiliated with Calvary, right? Still, right? Planting Refuge. And I just said, "Look, this would be great if we could hand them off to you." And I wasn't a part of that conversation. I don't remember how it went. I think Reuben told me they didn't know what to do with that. Right.
Yeah,
like,
I would
they
imagine.
Weren't equipped,
like,
for it.
It's so against, I think, the established culture of how you grow a church.
Yeah.
Now, it's the right way. I would say, right? But that's not the way, like, we are so holding on to tradition, like what we see the church do in the 80s and 90s, that's what we hold on to. So I could totally see that confusing the heck out of them.
Well, and it's this unexpected growth. It's like what happened during the Jesus movement. It's what happened in the book of Acts, right? Where all of a sudden you got this explosive growth and it created problems. It was disruptive. It literally created a problem where the disciples were like, oh, we got, you know, food distribution. We have to appoint new leaders. And so they had to appoint suddenly deacons, right? The seven deacons to handle the people problems that were created. And that's what I'm saying is if you actually do what Jesus trained the 12 to do, you're going to have people problems and you're going to have to try to sort them out. The good news is this isn't going to touch your Sundays. We're not, you don't got to change a thing on Sundays. You don't got to change a thing on Tuesdays in a certain, I'm not asking you to change how you do Tuesdays. What you are going to have to change is how many groups are running. You have a growth problem, and which means you have a leadership pipeline problem. And that's just something to be aware of. This is what always happens. So what happened in the scripture, it's what happens on the ground in church planting, and it's what's going to happen with you. And it's a good problem to have, quite frankly.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you guys want, you can sign up, by the way, our community at Newbury Training, newburytraining.com is up and going. Right now, there's about 700 people in our online community. We use Mighty Networks. We did it as a pilot for something we thought we were going to build outside of Mighty Networks. And we decided, you know what? Mighty Networks made a bunch of changes and we're like, we're just going to keep Mighty Networks. We're not going to get into software development right now. Do the Word was possibly going to make it for us. But we've decided, no, we're going to keep running. But all of this stuff, our training, free downloads, resources, everything that you need to do everything that we're talking about is going to be found in that community, including Discipology, which it's still not too late to sign up for the cohort. We're 3 weeks in. It's an 8-week cohort, but there are 3 8-week cohorts in this year on Discipology. So the book came out of this course. So if you want a sneak peek, a taste, you can still go over to newbreedtraining.com, click on the Discipology link there. You can sign up and register and we'll let you in. We're not like, no, you didn't come week one. We can send you summaries of everything that you missed. You can do all the reading, catch up. But we'd love to have you in the community. Because we're pretty sure when all this stuff launches, you're going to need a community of people that know what kind of crazy you're dealing with. So that's it. That's me done.
I like it. But let me ask you something. When you're doing all this micro church and discipleship, how do you take care of all the bookkeeping needs on your church?
Well, you know, Pete, happy birthday. I have the best present for you ever. And that is my good old friend Josh over at Simplify Church. He'll take care of all your bookkeeping needs, Pete.
I think, by the way, Josh commented on my Facebook post where I hit 405 on bench as a 50-year-old.
Oh, man.
I think he put beast or beast mode or something like that.
See, guys, that's what we're talking about. Not only will they balance your books, they'll also comment beast on your there Facebook. It is.
Beast.
Nice. Yeah, they'll also encourage you in when you're in the gym. That's part of their services. You got to pay a little extra for that. But
that'd be so funny if people are like, can I pay the extra $5 a month so you'll encourage me when I go to the gym?
I need a little self-esteem boost on Facebook, hey, if you don't mind.
If anybody needs that, we will provide that as Church Planter Podcast. For $5 a month, we will give you gym encouragement.
Heck yeah. Yeah, okay.
Go to the gym. Have you seen that one, that video where like, you hire the guy and it's this huge muscle ripped out fit black dude. And he like follows you around. And if like you go in to order fast food, he just like rips it out. He's like, no, you ain't eating that. Like,
no, you got to send me this. Oh, it's awesome. It's
a service. You can pay for it.
Oh my gosh. You got to send me this. And we need to make one of these for church planning. Need to make a video. So now that I'm off the book, I keep thinking of all my dream projects, things I want to do. I want to get back to making funny videos. So, all right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. This is Pete and Peyton on the Church Planner Podcast reminding you.
If you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.